Thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Amen. God is faithful. He is faithful. Do you find yourself during this time being anxious? Do you find yourself being fearful or afraid or concerned? I know things are different right now, and maybe it could be that maybe some have had a tendency to be anxious and to be worrisome or to be fearful, even in the course of regular life, much less in a time like we're facing right now where everything is different and everybody has been impacted in some way, somehow. So everybody's wired a little differently. So I know when I was, you may not recognize this, but when I was 6 years old, I was hospitalized at 6 years old for stomach ulcers because as a child, I was worried, I was anxious, I was nervous as a little child. And many times we're raised in atmospheres, or it could be that it's part of how we're wired or how we're made up that we're maybe a little more anxious. I remember when our son Josh was young and Jordan hadn't been born too long. She was old enough just to walk around. We would go into the mall, and Jordan being young, Josh, 4 years older than Jordan was, would be anxious about Jordan staying close by. Jordan, where's Jordan? Where's she at? And so sometimes we're just wired to be real kind of anxious or to be nervous. And in times like we're in right now, it's even more heightened. It's more visible because we're concerned about what's going on. But did you know even our personalities, the way that we're wired, we can still come to a place in God that we trust him that we're not fearful. That we're not fearful. The Lord identifies this in the Word of God. And so I want us to talk about that today. Our focus scripture today is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says in Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing. Another word for anxious is fearful, nervous. Be fearful for nothing, it goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Fear and anxiety is a strain on your physical body. We're not made to carry the strain and the struggle and the fear and the anxiety of the things that we can worry about. Somebody would say, well, do I have anything to worry about? There's always something to worry about. You can worry about anything. You can worry about if that or if this or what about that, what about this. You can anticipate the worst. You could be anxious about what's coming or even anxious about what has happened. But how can we deal with this anxiety? What's the very last thing when you lay your head on the pillow at night? What's the last thing on your mind before you go to sleep? Is it peace? Is it thankfulness? Is it joy? Or is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it worry? I want to talk about that today. We're all in this together. So we're not trying to identify you've got this problem or you've got that problem. We're family. We're in this together. And the Lord wants us to fear not. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The English Standard Version says, has not been perfected in love. The Bible calls fear torture. In 1 John 4:18, as we just read, the Word of God calls fear torment. We can get to a point that we're so fearful, we're so anxious, we're so worried that it becomes a torment. If you've been there, or if you're there, you know exactly what that word means. So I'm going to give us some reasons why fear is a torment, and then we're going to get to the answers of what God has concerning fear. Fear is a torment because fear destroys hope. Fear does not promote hope at all. As a matter of fact, fear promotes hopelessness. There is no hope in fear. Fear causes us to look into our future and say, well, that's an impossible situation. There's no hope there at all. What's the use? We become fearful of our future because we don't see any hope there. Fear destroys hope. Fear causes you to feel hopeless. Some would say that you need food, water, air, or shelter to live, but you can't truly live without hope. You can't live a life of peace and joy the way that God intended you to live without hope. And fear promotes hopelessness. Another thing fear does, fear is a torment because fear only sees the worst case scenario. Fear always looks at the worst case. Fear never brings about the best case scenario or what God's word says or what his promises are. Fear always sees and only sees the worst case scenario, leaving no room for hope. Fear always defaults to worst outcome. Fear convinces you that things will always end badly for you. Fear says, well, I've never had it good, so I never will have it good. Right? Fear of the worst case scenario. Fear of it's never going to get any better. Fear about the future. Anxious. But fear in the future leaves anxiety in the present. So it affects your present day because you're worried about the future. When all we see is doom and gloom for tomorrow, it robs us of our peace and joy for today. Number three, fear is also a false prophet. Fear is a false prophet. Fear never prophesies good. Fear never prophesies the word of God or the goodness of God or the promises of God. It always forecasts doom and gloom. Well, that's a false prophet. Because God says that he came to give you joy and give you peace, give you promise, and fear tells the very opposite of that. We become fearful, anxious, or afraid. Fear never lines up with the promises of God. Number four, fear ruins relationships. How does fear ruin relationships? Because we become so fearful that our reaction is always on the defense. We're fearful, we're afraid, and so we're always in that default. We're always reacting based on the circumstances around us. We're always based on, our reaction is based on maybe what something was said or done, and it's heightened. Fear causes our emotions to be fragile. Fear causes us to always be on edge. It's almost like a time bomb. In a state of fear, we're always fearful. We're always afraid. We go to bed at night thinking the worst case, to where we're always a time bomb waiting to explode. And it could be that in a relationship around you, something is said and you're always on edge, so you react according to your fear, what you think is a hopeless situation. That results in negativity. It results in hurtful. It completely exhausts the people around you, even the people who dearly love you. Fear sets you up for a place to where you become exhausting to others. It causes people to be weary. It can ruin relationships. Number five, fear makes us selfish. Fear causes us to be selfish. I'm scared. I'm crumbled. I'm worried. I'm uncertain. This thing is going to destroy me. You see? You see how fear can just compound and get bigger and bigger and bigger? I need your attention. I need the center of your life. I need you to focus on me because I'm afraid. During this time, we forget that other people have concerns and responsibilities and needs and could possibly even have struggles, even beyond what we're facing in life. Sometimes the most hurting people can be the most selfish people. The Bible calls us to comfort one another in these times. Comfort one another. As the Lord serves us and comforts us, we're to also pour out and to comfort others and to be there for others. Fear is like a demon spirit, if you will. Fear is like a demon spirit. In 1 John 4:18, as we just read, it says, perfect love casts out fear. That cast out language is used in other places of the Bible where demons were cast out, evil forces were cast out if they come contrary to God. So those demons we even saw when the demons were cast out and went into the swine, and the swine left and were run off the side of the mountain. See, a fearful spirit where you're always operating in fear, it has to be cast out by love. It says here in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love, where does perfect love come from? Perfect love comes from God. It casts out. It's an evil force against God. It's an evil force against your destiny in God. The Bible says that even when we cast out the demon, that if we don't replace it with God, it comes back seven times stronger. Some of you have conquered a fear in one area, but it's like it has multiplied in other areas. Why? Because that fear needs to be replaced with God so that we don't go back to those things of worry and anxiety and fear. And I understand that. I understand our human nature to worry and to be fearful. But fear is not a comfort. Sometimes we take comfort in fear because it lets us think that we're in control of the situation. But fear is a torment. Fear is a torment. Fear will haunt you. It will torment you. It will not bring you any peace at all. Fear is very much against you. And so we need to receive the love of God. It says the love of God casts out fear. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from fear. Because why? We receive the love of God. The love of God commands fear to leave. Where the love of God is, there is no room for fear. See, in our human limits, we have to sleep at night. Well, see, the demons were created, the angels of God were created to worship God 24/7 without sleep. They were created to worship God at all times. Well, these angels fell from heaven, became demons, so they still had the limitless ability to hound you instead of worshiping God in front of you, but to bring fear to you. And so how can we not become exhausted if we're always fearful and the demons in hell are chasing you to cause you to fear even more? They don't have the human limits that we have. We become tired. We become sick. We become exhausted. I want to point out some things to you before I give you the answers that God wants us to live by today. See, this word is not only for today. This word is not only to cause us to be encouraged through the pandemic. This word is to cause us to be conquered of fear for all of eternity, for the rest of the days of our lives. We can live life without fear. To fear not. Fear will push us past our physical and emotional limit. Fear will cause us to go beyond our ability to respond to it. It exhausts us. It makes us vulnerable. Fear will make us sick. So let's look at God's answer to fear. Philippians 4:4 through 7. It says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. That's huge. Even when times are hard, even when times are tough, even when times we can't understand them or not prepared for, when we're blindsided by things in life, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Bible repeats something sometimes because we have a tendency to forget it. We need to be reminded that we're to rejoice. When we come into a fearful situation, that doesn't mean that we won't ever come into a place where we're scared or fearful or anxious or nervous, but we rejoice in the Lord. Again, rejoice even when we face those times when they're tough and when they're hard, when we become scared and fearful, anxious, and nervous. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The first thing we need to do is look for the good. Look for the good. Where is the good? Where's the good in this? Where can there possibly be good in this situation? Where there's good in, where Romans 8:28 says that God will cause all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so if we love God and you are called, every person is called, when we're called for God's purpose, when we're identified and destined to live for God, and you are, when we in turn love God, then he's going to cause everything that you face in life, good, bad, ugly, different, to work together for good. So if you can't physically see good in a situation, know that there's good because God's going to cause it to work together for good. So we can rejoice in that. Rejoice in, God, I know you're going to bring goodness. I don't see it. I can't comprehend it. I don't understand it. I have no clue how it's going to work. But I know that you said in your word that if you cause it to work together for good, I can trust you because you will make good to come out of this situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Sometimes any bad that happens is exactly what we're looking to happen. In other words, sometimes we expect something bad to happen, so we're not surprised when it does because that's what we're expecting. I preached a sermon one time called What Do You Expect? And many times we expect the worst and we get the worst. I'm not saying that we cause worse things to happen. It's just that we're looking for bad rather than looking for good. Why can't we expect good even out of bad? We trust God. What do we choose to look for? What do we choose to expect? What do we choose to focus on? What do we choose to put our attention into? So I believe that we can view things from a faith viewpoint rather than from a fearful viewpoint. We can say, God, I have faith in you that you will cause something good to come out of this, even though I'm scared and I'm concerned. Did you know even Jesus was scared? He cried out to his Father, God, may this cup pass from me. He was scared. But he came through that by saying, I surrender to you. I don't do my will, but I do your will because, God, I trust you. I'm going to act in faith. Jesus acted in faith when he laid down his life. We talked about that last Sunday. And so we can also choose to live life from the viewpoint of having our faith in God rather than being fearful of the circumstances around us and to look for the good. See, God's provision, his miraculous power, his hope is good. There's not anything that God has planned for you that is bad, that is evil, that is not for your good, for now and for all of eternity. So God answers fear number two by we're to remain reasonable. That's almost telling somebody, remain calm. What's the first thing you do when somebody says, remain calm? You feel a match light in your bosom to where you just feel like you want to holler or scream. Remain calm. Reasonable, the word reasonable comes from Philippians 4, 5, where it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness is also reasonableness, to where we reason, we are able to receive the peace of God to conquer the fear that really wants to boil up. Reasonableness is taken from a battle-tested soldier standpoint, in that we remain steady, we remain calm. Even though there are bullets flying all around us, remain calm, steady, and ready. How can we do that? By taking the peace of God and saying, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on your goodness. I'm going to cause myself, my emotions, to tone down to where I know that they're within your peaceful promise for me. Let your gentleness, let your reasonableness be known to all men. There are people watching how we're reacting to this thing. We're blindsided. We're not expecting this. We're not prepared for this. But you know what? If we're standing in God, rooted and grounded in him, rooted and grounded in his word, we know that we can make it through the things even we don't understand. See, we can let the circumstances of life drive us. But if we let the circumstances of life drive us, tomorrow or next Sunday or two Sundays from now, things may change. So that means if we're going to tailor our life to the circumstances, then when another wind blows, then it's going to turn us and put us into another situation. Where if we stay steady, if we stay reasonable, if we stay calm and allow God to drive our emotions, then we can be faithful to him and he'll be faithful to us. And not to be turned and twisted and uncertain. You know, if you're a boat in the sea and we have some friends that have a sailboat and if they don't turn that sail to match what's coming toward them to where they're standing in the same projection or the same destination, they'll turn and go somewhere where they don't want to go. And that's the way life is. If we say, well, I'm just going to live my life based on what comes at me, well, you'll never make it anywhere because you're continually turning. You're continually letting the circumstances in life cause you to go where it wants you to go. But if we're focused on God, we can tweak our emotions based on what God tells us to do, and we can make it to our destination that God has promised for us. And his destination is good. It's awesome. It's wonderful. So we can't let our emotions be founded in fearful circumstances, because that'll push us away from God. But we can cause our emotions to be grounded in God, our faith in God, so that we're pushed toward our destiny that God has for us. We can become battle-tested, that all the bullets and all the things and all the circumstances in life can be flying all around us, and we can be so focused on him that we remain calm, steady, and faithful to him, and know that he's in control and he'll bring us through it. See, God made our emotions. One more word on that. God made our emotions. He wants our emotions, though, to be passionate toward him rather than our emotions to be passionate toward the things in life that cause anxiety and fear. Third, God's answer to fear is to pray instead of worry. Pray instead of worry. Worry gives us a false sense of maintaining control. If I can worry about it, then I can kind of keep my head around this thing and I can maintain some control in case something gets out of kilter a little bit, I can worry so much that I can cause this to work out for good somehow. It's a false sense of maintaining control. But prayer, on the other hand, gives us security in letting God take control. God, I give this thing to you. It's a matter of surrendering it. So the more we pray, the more we trust God, the more our relationship with God is to where, God, you really do love me. You really do want to cause all these things to work together for good. So our prayer gives us more security in Christ, builds our relationship in Christ, and releases control of that situation to God. So when we pray instead of worry, it actually affects our physical body, our mind, soul, body, and spirit. It causes us to be more healthy. Did you know when you pray more instead of worry more, you look younger and younger? That's why my wife, she looks like she's 25 years old, because she don't worry. She's beautiful. When we don't worry, it creates an aroma around you, if you will, of peace and of comfort and of love, of sound mind, of steadiness, of calmness. We release to God and let God take full control. God, you're in control of this. I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to go to bed tonight, God, knowing that you've got this, and I'm not going to worry or fret. I'm going to have peace and comfort in this thing. I'm going to rest, and tomorrow morning, God, if I don't see an answer, I still know you're working. I release that thing to you. What good does worry do? Why should we worry? Why can't we pray? Pray. Today through this pandemic, but when it passes, continue to pray. Continue to say, God, I'm going to release everything to you no matter what it is, how big it is, how small it is. I want to release this to you because that's where true security is found, where we can allow God to trust, allow God to take that situation and to make something good out of it. And our relationship with God will increase more and more. See, worship is a great place to start. We can sing songs to the Lord. Music somehow or another just soothes our soul. We watched the other night of a lot of stars coming together, and I heard one of the secular artists say, we want to play some music tonight because we know it'll soothe your soul. Well, imagine what not only music that I dearly love, but also the word of God with that music, what will that do for our spirits? It releases. It just causes us to release those things that will bring healing to our body, mind, soul, body, and spirit. Builds a relationship in Him. And so we want resolution. We say, well, God, I want resolution for this. If you can do it in 5 minutes, I'll trust you to do it. But if you can't, I'm going to have to take this back. Well, that's not really trusting God. What if it takes 5 minutes or takes 5 years? It's really irrelevant when we trust God to do what He promises that He'll do. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, we're still not in heaven. We're still on earth where everything's imperfect. There may be some things that we have to face in life that aren't quite right. There's still sin in this world. There's evil. There's sickness. There's suffering. There's even death. But we can still trust God in this imperfect world. Honestly, when we read God's word, the more we read this God's word, the more we find out just how far away from God our world is. Is that supposed to pull us away from God? No. That's to push us toward God, knowing that, God, I need you more and more every day. God, I need your power. I need your faithfulness. And so as we read God's word, as we realize how far we are away from God, this imperfect world and the things that we deal with day in and day out, and possibly even worse things that we'll deal with, but by God having control, by God taking control and us trusting Him to take that situation, we know that we'll not have to worry. Continue to pray. Because with God, all things are possible. God's answer to fear, number four, ask for your desires. God wants you to ask for your desires. What do you want to come out of the situation? We ask our children and grandchildren, what do you want for Christmas? Well, if we didn't care, we wouldn't ask them. We just get them something. Here's a $20 gift certificate to Starbucks. But we ask them, what are your desires? What do you want? God is asking you today, what do you want? You say, well, is God going to fulfill my desires? He said He would. He said in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Here it is. Let your request be made known to God. God cares what your desire is. God cares what you want. God cares what your heart desires for. He cares. And see, the closer we draw to God, the closer we pray, the closer our relationship is to God, the more we think like God, the more our desires match His desires. He's never going to fulfill a desire in your heart that is contrary to His word. He's never going to fulfill a desire in my heart that will pull me away from God. But if He knows my desires line up with His goodness, with His promise, that it's going to draw me closer to Him, why not? Why wouldn't He fulfill your desires? Absolutely. Let your requests be made known to God. Ask God what you want. He wants to know what the desires of your heart are. God's goodness is there with you to bring you close. If there's a goal that you want to meet, if there's something that you want God to do in your life, God, I give this to you, and have faith and trust Him that He will bring that thing about. Why would He want to know what your desires are if He's just going to get you a Starbucks card anyway? He wants to know so that He can fulfill your desires. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, that He will fulfill the desires of your heart. Godly desires will always line up with God's plan. And God will implant those desires in your heart, and we're to ask Him for it and say, God, this is what I desire in my heart, to be closer to You and for this thing to be done. You know what? When we make that request made known to Him, we trust Him with His timing to bring it about, and He will do that thing. And lastly, God's answer to fear is for us to enjoy God's presence and peace. Enjoy God's presence and peace. Because in Philippians 4:5 it says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is with you. The Lord is here with you. The Lord is there with you. No matter where you are, the Lord is at hand. He's there present with you. So we are to enjoy the presence of God. We are to enjoy the presentness. He is on location right now with you. The only reason He would not be with you is if you say, God, I don't want You with me. But He is with you if you open your heart and receive Him today and say, God, I want You here with me. He is there. The Bible says the Lord is at hand to be with you, to guide you. Isaiah 41:10 says to fear not. Fear not, why? Because God is there with you. Fear not. Notice the words that follow here in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. He's with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will go with you. Even when you're scared, even when you're concerned, God is with you. Fear not. In Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Say that. All understanding. Say it. All understanding. His peace passes all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Only God can give us authentic peace. Authentic peace only comes by the Spirit of God. It doesn't come by any person, any situation, anything. Only the peace of God, only the authentic peace can come through the Spirit of God. And it says He will guard your heart and your mind. He'll guard you even when you're tired. Did you wake up this morning feeling exhausted? Sometimes we go to bed at night and we feel exhausted the next day as though we've been in a boxing ring. We've been punching. We've been fighting for our life. God can give you a rest and peace in Him to when you lay on the pillow tonight, you say, God, I thank You. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I refuse to, because You said in Your word to fear not, because You're here with me. And so when you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll be ready to tackle the world, because true peace, true rest, true relaxation comes through the hand of God. He'll cause us not to be tired, not to grow weary. Even when we require sleep and rest, He'll give that to us. He will guard our heart and mind by His peace. By His peace. I want to pray for God's peace in your life today. Pray that you'll receive God's peace and that you won't worry. You won't be fearful. About 16 years ago this month, our son Josh was on a spring break, and he had taken a spring break, and he was here at home. He was here, college, here at Brunswick. And he was invited to go to a property out in the country with some of his friends, and we knew the people that he was with, and a great family, and had property out in the country. And so he was going to go out for a day, and they were going to go four-wheeling and having a good time. And so his mom had talked to him late that afternoon and said, Josh, I'm fixing supper. What time are you being? He said, well, Mom, we're going to take one more ride. around the property. We're having such a great time, a good time. We're going to take one more ride, and then I'll be home in a little while. And so so they did, and the next call we get about 45 minutes later is from one of the fathers of the others that were there on the property, and he calls and says that I've just got a call. I'm headed to the property now. Josh was in an accident. The four-wheeler that he was on, evidently somebody else is there with him, and it's flipped, and they're not sure what kind of shape Josh is in. And so you can imagine the fear that was tempted to grip our heart at that moment. And I can't say that we weren't scared. Crystal got the call, and she called me immediately. I got home quickly, picked her up, and we headed to the country. I said, no, you stay at home. I'm going to come to you, and we're going to go out to the country. So we quickly, hurriedly got out to the country where Josh was. And when I walked up on the site, the ambulance was already there, just arrived. And they had Josh putting him on a stretcher, and face was covered in blood. I mean, blood was everywhere. He was upset. He was disoriented. We had no clue if he had a cracked skull or what the damage was. And so as I walked up to Josh, I saw him there. I actually ran up to Josh. I got out of the car, left the car door open, and ran to Josh. And Josh was lying there on the ground, and the first words out of my mouth was, Josh, Daddy's here. And so I stayed with Josh that night as they took Josh, rushed him to the hospital. They did tests, and it was beyond what their ability was. I remember one of the doctors came in, and his hip was busted up, and they got on the bed trying to get his hip back in socket and wouldn't do anything. And shoulder, they found out that his shoulder was broken. So they put him in the ambulance and took him to Shands Hospital in Jacksonville, and I was there with Josh the entire time. I was with Josh for the ride. I was with Josh. Crystal and I were there at the hospital, at Shands Hospital in Jacksonville. The days to come, they did rule out a head fracture. They found out that there was no head trauma. But they found out that his socket had been busted. It was just crumbled in his leg. And his, as I said, his shoulder was broken. So they had to implant about a 16-inch plate, metal plate in his leg in order for that socket to stay in place. So they did that. And this began about a 3 or 4 month process of him being back to walk. He was in a wheelchair. Crystal would take Josh back and forth. He said, I'm going to stay in college. I'm going to get my education. So she took him every single day back to college in a wheelchair, unloaded the wheelchair. He'd go to class. He'd come back. She'd pick him up. This happened for 3 months, 3 to 4 months. Josh was determined. But you know what? Daddy was with him. Mama was with him. And can I tell you today that Daddy's with you? That Daddy's not going to leave you? No matter what you're facing today, no matter what trauma that you're in, no matter how things have bruised you up or messed you up or feel like destroyed you, Daddy is with you. Father God is with you today. He's there to lead you, to protect you, to stay with you. He's not going to say, well, you've got this now and I'm going to go on to somebody else. No, he's with you. He's present with you. He wants to love you, and he wants his love for you to cause you not to fear, not to be scared, not to be nervous, not to be anxious. He wants to drive all that out. He wants to cast all that out today if you just release it to him and allow him to do that today. Fear not, for God is with you. Crystal, if you'll come up and join me, I want us to pray this morning. I want you to know that we're standing with you. We're praying for you. I know we can't be with you in person, but with you in spirit, and we know that God is with you as well today. So I want to encourage you today, don't fear. Don't allow the pressures of life and the things in life to cause you to take your eyes off of God. Now is the time to pull closer to God. Now is the time to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this thing. I'm not going to fear, but I'm going to know that you're with me. And so I want to pray that over you today. I want to pray that God will be with you today, that he'll strengthen you, that he'll cause all these things to work together for good in you. But you've got to allow him to do it. You've got to release that thing today, release that fear to God, release that anxiety and that nervousness and not knowing what's going to happen. Listen, we don't have to know what's going to happen as long as we know him. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith, and he's there with you today. Stretch out your hands. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray this word, Lord, over every person that hears this today. I pray, God, your spirit to go and to be with each one today, to comfort and to bring a peace, Lord, that, as we just read about, a peace that passes all understanding. It's beyond our comprehension, God, but your peace is there with us. Cause us not to fear. May we not be anxious for anything, but to rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice in the Lord always. God, you've told us to do that. So today, God, we rejoice in who you are. We're happy because, Lord, you've brought us this far and you're not going to leave us now. There's nothing that we will face that is bigger than you. For you are bigger than anything we face today and every day. Lord, may our lives be, may we use this time, God, to reprogram ourselves, Lord, not to default to fear, but to default to faith. Not to default toward the worst case, but, Lord, to default to the best case, and that's you. Fear not, Lord, because you are with us. I pray now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his awesome peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. Let us hear from you. Call, text, email, whatever. We're praying for you. We love you. May God bless you.